going to continue our study of types. This for a while now on Wednesday evenings. And you'll remember there's kind of twofold purpose in looking at types. First of all, the types that we see in the Old Testament are more fully revealed to us in the New Testament. And then the other thing that we look for in this study is to see the progression of the believer, different things that happen that will show the growth of the believer. And the last couple times, we've looked at two characters in the Old Testament. We've looked at Abraham, and Abraham was a picture of faith, the faith as it was strengthened and grew in Abraham is a picture of how faith is strengthened and grows in each of us. And then for the last several times, we were looking at Isaac, which was a picture of sonship, and that represented the believer's position as a child of God and as an heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. So those were the last two that we looked at. There's two more in this study we're going to look at, and tonight we're going to begin looking at Jacob. And Jacob will represent the progression of service in a believer. Now, Jacob, I find Jacob to be a most interesting character in the Old Testament. And the scriptures follow him literally from the time that he's in Rebekah's womb until he dies as an old man. I believe he was 147 years old, dies as an old man in Egypt. There's many trials and tribulations that he goes through in his life. And but tonight we're going to focus on his younger years. And some of the things we see in his early life will identify him as a very impatient young man. And he was also a very deceptive young man. And but he learns humility and service early in his life. So we will be looking at a fairly lengthy set of scriptures. And I, Brother Haley brought up Brother Garnes. I remember he used to give us fair warning when we were going to be flipping to a lot of scriptures, which was most times he spoke. But he never apologized for flipping to the various scriptures. And I won't apologize for reading long passages tonight. I think to get the flavor of Jacob and his life, you really kind of need to go through these passages in some detail. So we'll read long passages, and I'll have some comments on them as we go through. But again, we'll begin in Genesis chapter 25. Chapter 25, and we'll begin in verse 20. Genesis 25, verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. So she detects something's not quite right with this pregnancy, and she inquires of the Lord. Verse 23, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." And that's an important distinction to remember as we go through these passages tonight, that the older shall serve the younger. And again, this is a revelation that's given directly to Rebekah from God, and she clearly knows what's about to happen. Verse 24, so when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. And I guess that's a combination of the red and the hairy in that language. The word for that is Esau. Verse 26, afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So we see that Jacob grabs a hold of Esau's heel at the moment of birth. Now, I know we have some twins here. I don't think any of them, I never heard any stories of anything like that happening with twins in our meeting. But anyhow, and it's interesting, the name Jacob is translated as supplanter. Now, that's probably a word most of us don't use on a daily basis, or hardly at all for that matter. But the definition of supplanter is one who wrongfully or illegally seizes and holds the place of another. And we will see that as we continue in the story here, that's exactly what Jacob did. He took the place wrongfully of another. Okay, continuing in verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So there's some parental favoritism between the two boys, with the mother favoring Jacob and the father favoring Esau. 29, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. So Jacob wants to make a deal here. He figures he's got Esau over the barrel, so to speak. He wants to cut a deal. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, probably need to talk a little bit about what Esau gave up, his birthright. In the Jewish economy there, it was back in Deuteronomy, it was dictated that the oldest son, the firstborn, should have a double portion of the father's inheritance. So Esau was willing to give up this double portion, and all for a pot of stew. So as cunning as Jacob was, Esau seemed to be foolish. But that's what we have in the early story there. Again, Jacob has taken away that which rightfully belonged to Esau through deception. Now, we'll skip chapter 26 because it doesn't concern Jacob, but flip over to chapter 27 and we'll begin reading what to many is a familiar story deception that Jacob is going to pull on his father. And we'll begin reading chapter 27, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. think those of you that know Larry Price may know that he uses verse 3 there as his personal verse. There's a kind of a story behind that, but anyhow. So Isaac is commissioned, so to speak, Esau to go out and bring some game so that he can have some stew. Verse 4, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Verse 5, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Now go to the flock and bring me there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, and he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. So Jacob's a little bit concerned over this plan his mother's given him to deceive his father. Verse 13, but his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son, and obey my voice, and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So it appears that maybe Jacob got his deceptive ways, may have inherited them from his mother. And you remember the first passage we read there was God telling Rebecca what was happening within her, and that the how things were going to turn out, that the younger would serve the younger. So in some respects, it's kind of hard to know why Rebecca went through this. It had already been told to her what was going to happen. And we've seen this a couple times in our studies here. We saw it with Sarah and Abraham, and Sarah took it upon herself to kind of help God out, so to speak, to bring along this heir, this son. And possibly we see a little bit of that happening here, that Rebecca, for whatever reason, is figuring she can help God out here. But anyhow, continuing on, let's see, verse 18, so this is after the meal had been prepared, and Jacob has on the appropriate disguise, and the food has been given to him. Verse 18, so he went to his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Clearly a lie, it's Jacob. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? So Isaac's a little suspicious of what's going on here. This happened too quickly, at least by his estimation. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Now, how can Isaac argue with that? Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, and now we get into the second part there, verse 27, and this is really a description of the blessing that is given to Jacob. Middle again of verse 27, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." So this was the blessing that Jacob was desiring, and most of it is contained in verse 29 there, and the blessing of promise. We see that the nations will bow down to you, let people serve you. So there's a promise that is going to Jacob here also. And then also at the end, "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." So this was the blessing that Jacob was seeking from his father Isaac. Verse 30, "Then it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting." So he's coming a little bit late to the scene here. "He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat his son's game, that your soul may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn, Esau.' Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed.' When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.'" So Isaac is not going to take the blessing away from Jacob. Verse 36, "And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver? For he has supplanted me these two times.'" So Esau sees, once again, he's been fooled by his brother, the first time taking the birthright or giving up his birthright, and now the blessing has been taken away from him. Verse 37, "Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants with grain and wine. I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." So there's much sorrow now that Esau is feeling. The blessing's been taken away and given to his brother. Verse 39, "Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. And we see Esau's reaction in verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." So Esau is quite upset by the events that have taken, and he says he's going to kill his brother, the one who took the blessing away from him. But he's going to wait until his father dies. He's not going to do this right now. He's going to wait until Isaac is gone before he kills the brother. And continuing on with verse 42, "And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you.'" So the mother warns Jacob, the son, that the other brother is going to kill him. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away." So the mother wants him to go down with with her brother in Haran and stay for a while until Esau calms down from all these things that have happened. Let's see, and we're in verse 45, "Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like those who are daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" So Rebekah is torn up by all this turmoil that's going on in her family also. Let's see. We'll continue reading in beginning in chapter 28, verse 1. "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.'" Now, Canaan is where they were at the time, where their life was, but he was not to take a wife from the Canaanites. Verse 2, "Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." So specifically, he's to take a wife from Laban's daughters. And again, here's another blessing that Jacob is given as he's leaving. "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So we'll remember from our study of Abraham, the blessing that Abraham, the covenant that Abraham had, that he would be inheritor of the land, and that there would be a descendant in the land also. Verse 5, "So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.' And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram." And Esau sees an opportunity here to kind of get back at his parents. Verse 8, "Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had." So just as a a show of his rebellion. He was not to take a wife, or the brother was not to take a wife from the women of Canaan. So Esau thinks, okay, this is a good way to demonstrate my displeasure at the whole thing. So he took a wife from from those people. Now, we'll go a little bit further tonight, and let's see. I think we'll go directly to chapter 29. And this is where Jacob ends up at Laban's, and we'll see what happens at that point. Let's see, chapter 29. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still high day, and not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together, and they have been rolled the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Now, we see here that Jacob has found Rachel, and he desires her for a wife. And you would have thought maybe that Rebekah had warned Jacob about her brother, but no such warning was given. So we see some of the deception that Jacob practiced is returned to him by Laban. We'll get to that in a few verses here. And we're in verse 15. And Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Sounds like that's his first offer. He's willing to serve 7 years for the hand of Rachel. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Laban agrees to this deal. He's going to let Jacob work for him for 7 years, and then give the hand of Rachel, his daughter, to him. And Laban said, go to verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Imagine that. 7 days or 7 years seemed like just a few days because of his great love for Rachel. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. So Laban had done a switch here. Rachel was the promised wife, but he gave Leah to Jacob. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" Again, he's getting some of his own treatment back, a deceiver. And Laban said, "It must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." So here we are again. If you want Rachel, it's going to cost you another 7 years of service. He's already served seven, so we're up to 14 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. So, again, we see the deception that that Jacob practiced has been returned to him. So now he's by Laban, and he's now served 14 years, and he has been given the desire. His desire was to have Rachel as his wife, and that's what has happened after 14 years of service. So I think we'll stop here for tonight, and we'll pick up the story next time. And again, I thank you for bearing with me as we read through these chapters. But again, make no apologies for reading the scriptures, and we'll continue this story next time. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for these examples we see in your word, Father, and what they mean to us, Father. We see these types displayed, Father, and we'll just pray that the type that Jacob represents will be made clear to us as we continue studying his life. Father, we again thank you for your word, Father, and we would just pray that you would continue to watch over and bless us as you would see fit. Now, Father, again, we give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.